Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for our workers' training session tonight. We pray, Lord, you impart every heart with the fire of the word. And Lord, we pray you take away coldness, lukewarmness, and disobedience from the heart, the life, with the ministry of everyone in Jesus' name. And we pray that the wind of the Spirit will so blow and lead us and drive us in the right direction to fulfill the great commission in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to be attentive and not to be absent-minded as you speak to everyone tonight. Well, thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And everybody said,
amen.
Now tonight, only the sisters, I want your amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We can sit down. Today we're coming to something very essential, very important, and it should be an unforgettable part of every believer's life. As we have read from part of 2 Kings chapter 6 and then part of chapter 7, there was a terrible famine in Samaria, a terrible famine among the people of God, Israel. And it was because the king of Syria had waged war with them, laid siege on them, and they couldn't have all they needed to have for sustenance. It came to such a height that they became cannibal. If you read chapter 6, it was a terrible, terrible famine. And so the king said, I'm going to get that Elisha, because he's a prophet in the land. And he must be responsible for this. If not, he's a man of prayer, he could have prayed, and the famine should have ended. And so it was after Elisha. He wanted to take off his sandals, but thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Elisha was having a meeting with elders and leaders in the land. And before the king came with the person to execute the assassination, Elisha said, see this man coming. He wants to take up my head. And then he said, what am I waiting for? And gave the word. That's what brings us now to chapter 7. Look at chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 1. In verse 1 it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Tomorrow, I was waiting for an amen there. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The prophecy was so clear, and the prophecy was distinct. Is the meaning is, and the final message is, the famine is coming to an end. And as the man of God declared that, look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, then a Lord, then an officer, then a member of the cabinet of the king, a lord on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see. Elisha was very sure about the prophecy, about the proclamation. And when somebody, a highly placed man of the world, contradicted him and said, Mr. Prophet, even if the Lord God of heaven will open windows in heaven, might this be? Now, when you are sure of what you have said, you will not allow anyone trying to contradict you and trying to sweep you under. You're not allowed them to contradict the word of the Almighty God. And so the prophet said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And then the following verse. There were four lepers outside the city. They were outside and they began to talk together. They didn't know about the prophecy. They didn't know that Elisha said anything. They didn't know that God was going to use them to turn things around for the better. Like you didn't know how God will use you. But he will use you. And so they began to discuss, four of them. Why do we stay here? There's no food. If we stay here, we'll die. Why don't we surrender ourselves to the Syrians and go to their camp? They might have mercy on us and spare our lives, then we leave. Even if they killed us, dying, we'll die. So they went there. And as they got to the camp, they saw the place empty of men. But there were horses there, there were chariots there, and a lot of food. The food that the myriads of the soldiers of the Assyrians had prepared for themselves, the food, they ran away because the Lord God of heaven had made them to hear a sound. And it was like the sound of the chariots of her armies. And they said, this is their own interpretation, that the king in Samaria had hired all these soldiers, and they will fight against us and they will win. And for their life, they all ran away. Even the horses they tied, all those things were there, and the food and everything. And then the lepers, four of them, they gathered and ate. Then they went and hid some. Then they spoke to one another. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it tells us now what is said. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, good news, and we hold our peace. That is, we're keeping quiet. We have good news, but we are not letting it out. It said, if we hold our peace, if we tarry till the morning light. Please remember. What they were talking about now. They didn't hear that the prophets are there, by this time tomorrow, everything we have to do must be done now until the morning of the following day, and the prophecy will be fulfilled in our lives. And so they said, if we tarry till the morning, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the good news, tell the glad tidings, tell the story. We may go and tell the king's household. That's how They then told one of the porters, and then the porter told the other porters. Eventually, he got to the king, but the king said, "Hold on, hold on. Sometimes when you know too much of the world, what you know of the world will cancel the blessing of the word." He had the knowledge of soldiers and armies. He said, "Let me tell you, the sea that were hungry, that's what the Syrians, they're playing a game on us. It's a strategy. And so they've vacated that location and they're hiding somewhere. And if we go, we'll say we're looking for food, then they'll come out and catch us. So if we allow the mentality of the worldly, it will cancel the benefit of the word in our lives." And so somebody said, "Let's go and check up. There's no harm in checking up. Can we just take, two chariots? And even we can take five of the horses and go there and find out. And we're not endangering the lives of the whole multitude." And they went. When they got there, they saw that truly all those soldiers of the Syrian army had run away. And there was food, everything they left behind. They went to this camp and this camp and that camp. They saw that there was plenty. There is plenty. They came back to the king. And as they came back to the king, everything now became available. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it tells us, "And he called the porters, and he told each to the king's house within." Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians." So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will be fulfilled. It may look incredible. It may look impossible, but the word of the Lord in your life, in my life, in our families, in the church, and for this age will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. That is the story. Now, the message, fulfilling the great commission through the agents of grace. The agents of grace, mercy, compassion, grace made available to fulfill the prophecy of the man of God. And these agents of grace, agents of the mercy of God, were mightily used of God to bring fulfillment to the message, fulfilling the great commission through the agents of grace. There are 3 things we're looking at. Look at number 1, the great prophecy of the end of a sore famine. Number two is the gospel proclamation to end the spiritual famine. Number 3 is the guided preparation for an endemic sure famine. Look at number 1. Number 1, the great prophecy of the end of a sore famine. Already we've read 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. Let's look at the 3 points here. 3 things here. Number 1, the faultless prophet with a God-given conviction. Number two is the flippant profligate under grave condemnation. Number 3 is the 4 pilgrims. These lepers, they were on pilgrimage. They were outside, and they went into the camp, then they came back and informed the king's house. And through these pilgrims, the Lord gave a gracious kind of provision. The four pilgrims with a gracious concern. Look at number one. Number one is the faultless prophet with a God-given conviction. You remember, this is Elisha, and this was Elisha that followed after Elijah. We're looking at that 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1 again. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Let's remind ourselves that Elisha was plowing, and then God told Elijah to go after Elisha because Elisha will take his place now. That will be like a successor. But please remember, Elijah did not even know Elisha, the successor. Elijah had known other people. He knew Obadiah that was serving in the king's palace, Ahab's house. And he had been very useful in hiding those people, prophets of God, when Jezebel was killing the prophets of God and was feeding them. And Elisha, and God did not point out Obadiah as a successor. He pointed somebody unknown and said, he will take your place. And he didn't just pick him. He didn't call him. He didn't make any announcement. You'll be my successor. That will be carnal. That will be politics. But now, he threw his mantle on him. And he said, let me go and tell them in the house, I'm not coming back. I'll be following you. What have I done? Go your way. And eventually, Elisha burnt the bridge behind him. Bunch the oxen, bunch the plow, and give the people off. He went with Elijah, and he was just pouring water on his son. He wasn't prophesying successor. He wasn't preaching successor. He wasn't doing any spiritual thing, just pouring water on Elijah's hand. And eventually, the day Elijah was to leave, he followed him. He said, stay here. No, I will not leave you. As long as God lives and your soul liveth, I'll follow you to Gilgal, to Jordan, beyond Jordan. When he crossed Jordan, he said, ask what I will do for you before I be taken away from you. And he said he needed a double portion of his spirit. You know the story. He got it, you'll get it. And so, after Elijah had been taken up, the mantle of Elijah fell down. And he took that mantle and he said, by the boundary of the shore, or by the bank of Jordan, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the river, and it parted in two. And the sons of the prophet said, the spirit of Elijah had come upon Elisha. That's how his ministry now continued. And the word of the Lord was in his mouth. The word of the Lord in his mouth. Like the word of the Lord was in the mouth of Elijah, his prophet. Look at chapter 17 of 1 Kings. We're looking at verse 24. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. The woman was saying to Elijah, and he said, the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. What the woman said about Elijah, we now say about Elisha. Like father, like son, like leader, like follower. Because now the word had come out from the mouth of Elisha, by this time tomorrow there'll be so much that the poorest in the land will be able to buy enough to eat. Look at number two here. Number two is the flippant profligate under grave, terrible condemnation. Here is a Lord that leaned upon the hand of the king. There are times that people allow their position to impart unbelief in their hearts. And this Lord might not be the only person that felt what he felt, but other people did not talk for other people. That's incredible. That's impossible. That's unbelievable. But he didn't talk. But this man, a Lord on whom the king leaned, was next to the king. And we need to be very careful. The familiarity with an Elisha, familiarity with a king, familiarity with a man in position does not make us flippant, frivolous. When we hear what looks incredible, impossible, unbelievable from the word of God. And so he allowed himself to become a profligate. Look at 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 2. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this sin be? And there's a lesson here for ministers, for leaders. You're a leader, a man of God, a woman of God, you're a preacher, you're a pastor. Do not allow anyone for that matter, of whatever title in the world, any profligate, to run you out of town, to silence you, to muzzle your mouth, to ridicule you, and to make you intimidated. You know, Elisha, looking at the position of the man, could have been, you know, afraid, okay, and modify his word. No, that will be intimidation. That will be becoming unsure that God had sent you. Any flippant, frivolous profligate that didn't know the origin of the gift of the Spirit that the man of God received. We don't allow profligates and backsliders and big mouths to stop the word and the ministry of God. It will not stop you. It will not stop me. I mean me now. Seriously. Your amen is not serious. As they couldn't stop Elisha, they will not stop me. Say it for yourself now. And he said, behold, thou shalt see. Now, the man could have repented at that time, you know, but flippant people don't think of repentance. They stick to their gun. They are meant for the grave. Flippant profligates. This man could have repented. In fact, when the whole story was playing out and the four lepers went, found out, and came back, and he told the king's house, and the people went out and they saw the prophecy had been fulfilled. The man could have repented, and the king chose him to be the one that will supervise and organize everything. At that time, the man could have repented, but did not. Are there things you have said in contrary to the will of God and the word of God? And the chances there to repent. But no, those who are made for death and they want to destroy themselves, they don't take the opportunity when the opportunity comes to repent. It says, you'll see it with your eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Look at verse 17 there. In verse 17, it tells us, and the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. As they were now distributing the food and the prophecy had now been fulfilled, then we are told, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Well, dying is not the issue. The issue is, where will you spend eternity? Dying is common, and one will die either by the gate or in the house or anywhere. The question is, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and to me, and we need to give an answer. Where will you spend eternity? For this man, the flippant profligate, where would he spend eternity? An unbeliever till the time of his death. A doubter till the time of his death. A prodigal, a profligate until the day of his death. He saw that God is God, and what God says will happen by the man of God has happened, but no repentance. And so they trod upon him that he died. We're looking at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the four lepers, the four pilgrims, with a gracious concern. And this is what the Lord wants you and I to have: the concern for other people. After he has blessed us, after we have taken the bread of life, after we have drunk the water of life, after we have had the salvation of the Lord, that we don't just get satisfied, satiated, and totally supplied, and we don't remember other people. And look at it now from verse 8. We're looking at verse 8. In verse 8 it says, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and it says raiment as well, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Now verse 9. In verse 9, then they said one to another. There wasn't any preacher to convict them. There wasn't any other man there apart from these lepers themselves. But they now spoke one to another. Well, to be speaking to one another, God has provided something great. Let's speak to one another. We're partaking of the miraculous provision of the Lord. Let's speak one to another. And we've even got surplus. And they went and they hid that. Then they stopped and spoke to one another. You see, these provisions are much more than the lepers could consume, than they could take. How about the horses? Can they untie the horses and take them away? How about the chariots? Can they untie the chariots and take them away? How about all the food and everything available? Too much for them to carry and to take away. And so now they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Nobody told them that, but the Holy Spirit told them. And the Holy Spirit that knew the reason for the whole camp being empty and for the Assyrians running away, it was to fulfill the prophecy that was given earlier in the day. And the Holy Spirit that knew the reason for the provision of everything, it was not just for the four of them, it was for the whole people, the multitude, that the Holy Spirit convicting them and convincing them, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And that's the word that is coming to you and I. We've got salvation, let's go and tell others. We've got sound doctrine, let's go and tell others. With God's sanctification, the purity of heart and the circumcision of heart, it's not just for us to testify, I was saved or sanctified. Let's go and tell others. And we've known about the power and the outpouring and the anointing, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You've got it. Do you ever tell others? Do you ask people the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've known about healing, and we know some spectacular testimonies of healing, and we know it has happened to us and it's happening to other people around us. Have you told other people? We've seen those who are delivered completely from evil spirits and evil power and occultic attacks. Have you told other people? Go and tell others. They said, let us go and tell. And we're looking at Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 19 and verse 20. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. How be Jesus suffered him not. This is the man who had been delivered from terrible manifestation of demonic power, like having a legion. And when he was delivered, he wanted to follow the Lord, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. What he told him is telling us, you have been saved, tell others. You are born again, tell others. You were religious, but now you have become redeemed and righteous, tell others. We're told in verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And all men did marvel. I pray that that same spirit of obedience will come upon every one of us in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, the gospel proclamation to end the spiritual famine. For them in Samaria, there was a sore famine, terrible famine. But for the world in which we live, there is a more serious famine, and it's a spiritual famine. In Amos chapter 8, reading from verse 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And those days are upon us now. Look around. People go to different assemblies and congregations, but there's a famine of the word of God. And people carry the Bible, read the Bible, and they read other religious materials, yet there's a famine of the word. They go to churches where apparently they should have been hearing the word of the Lord. It's an evangelical church. It's a Pentecostal church. It's a Bible-believing church. But you do not see the sign of salvation, the transformation that salvation brings in any of their lives. There is a famine of the world. Talk to any average church man, church woman, church boy, church girl, and talk about the great tribulation and the rapture before that, and talk about the coming of the Lord, and talk about as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. The world will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the Son of Man will come, just like it happened on the day of Noah. And they'll say, what? Where does the Bible say that? They don't understand. And talk about, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And they say, okay, you're from deeper life. They think it's a deeper life doctrine. And talk about, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall no wise, in no wise get to the kingdom of God. They say, what does that mean? There is a famine of the word of God. And God said in Amos chapter 8 verse 11, and it says, behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That day is upon us already. And now we have to have gospel proclamation to end the spiritual famine. Three things we're looking at. Number one is the urgent consideration of telling others. Number two is the ultimate condemnation or thinking otherwise. Instead of telling other people, you think otherwise and you're not doing it. The ultimate condemnation for thinking otherwise. Number three is the urging conscience to take orders. Look at number one. Number one, the urgent consideration of telling others. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 7. Look at verse 1. In verse 1 it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, what's the urgency about the lepers telling? The lepers had to tell the story at that time for the prophecy to be fulfilled exactly by this time tomorrow. If they delayed another day and there wasn't provision that tomorrow, the prophecy had not been fulfilled. That then puts urgency in what those lepers had to do. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, therefore, they arose and fled in the twilight, the evening of that day of the prophecy. Those Assyrian soldiers fled. Why? Because the fulfillment must be by tomorrow. And then he goes on, and led their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp. It says, it was as it was, and fled for their life. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and then said they, the lepers, the pilgrims, one to another, we do not well. We do not well. That realization had to be expressed at that time, not later. That the urgency, because if it was later and they say, okay, we have heard and we know that there's good news, well, we'll find time to tell the king's house. If they didn't follow through with the urgency, tomorrow will go and the prophecy would not have been fulfilled. When God gives us the word, we should make it, take it urgently and believe it urgently and do something about it urgently, because you don't know the people God is sending you to, how much time they still have to live. We don't know when they will die. And when the Spirit speaks to you, there is one thing to do at that time: just obey. Just obey. And so that's why it was urgent. And then it says, if we hold our peace, then there is danger. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, now, come and let us reason together. There's an urgency there. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. That the urgency. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28. Proverbs 3, 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You have the gospel message, you have the word of the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. I'll tell him another time. We're still doing business now. I'll tell him another season. It's not the season of telling anybody about eternal life. There is an urgency to that. The urgent consideration of telling others. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we're reading from verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, and whatsoever thy mouth findeth to say, do it, say it with thy mind. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Do it now and do it urgently. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, with God, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, not tomorrow, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tell them, tell them, tell them, and tell them urgently. Number two is the ultimate condemnation for thinking otherwise. We hear the word of God. This is the time. Tell them now. If we think otherwise, there is an ultimate condemnation, damnation. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 9. It says, then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry, if we muscle our mouths, if we keep quiet, if we act unconcerned, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, so that mischief will not come, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Urgent, do it now. Proverbs chapter 24, reading from verse 11. In Proverbs 24, verse 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. If the leper said, I know I'm hungry, I don't know about the people in the town. Yes, you know. If we say, we knew it not, it says, does not he that pondereth and considers and examines the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? If we delay and we say, well, I don't know, I still have this to do and that to do, the Lord says, he knows your heart. He knows you are self-centered. He knows you are selfish. He knows you are just considering your own comfort. You are not thinking of other people. He will require it. Ezekiel chapter 3, reading from verse 17. Ezekiel 3:17, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Verse 18. In verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. His blood will I require at thy hand. He wants us to take the salvation of others urgently and to act at the time we ought to act. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Acts 20, verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul the apostle had done what he ought to do. declaring the word of salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile, to the kings and their subjects, to people near and to people far away. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28. In verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. The word of salvation for those who are not saved, feed the church of God. The word of truth that sanctifies for those who are not sanctified, feed the church of God. The word of his power for us to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, feed the church of God. The word that heals for those who need healing, feed the church of God. The word of deliverance for those who are oppressed, those who are under attack, feed the church of God. The word of prophecy for those who ought to prepare and be ready for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We're coming to number three. Number three is the urging conscience to take orders. Orders. The order that comes from the Spirit of God. Take the orders and don't allow days to pass by until the message cools in your heart. Take orders. And then the king. And they told the king, and the king gave human reasoning. And then somebody came and said, oh king, don't talk like that. Let's go and check up. King, take orders. And then the king now told the servants, saying, take some mules and horses there, go and check up. The same servants that had had the word of the king when the king said, they are playing a trick on us. They know we're hungry. That's why they've done this, so that we can go there and they catch us. Those same servants that heard the king now told them, go and check up. Servants, whatever you felt before when the king said what he said, take orders. Your conscience will urge you. Your mind will urge you. Another person took the order of the Spirit of God and spoke to you, and you were saved. Another person obeyed the voice of conscience and came to you and invited you to the church. And so you came, and now you're even a leader. You are now a worker. Take orders as your conscience is urging you, saying, that's the word, rise up and obey. Do it. We will do it in Jesus' name. And we're looking at Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Luke chapter 9, we're reading from verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever will say, it's dangerous now to go there. Well, Jesus said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And at the same time, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness. He knew that the wars and rumors of wars will be there. And so if you don't take order and you say, well, because of this, because of that, I cannot, you will lose not just reward, you lose your life. And what you are trying to preserve, contrary to the calling of the Lord upon your life, you will lose everything. Take orders. The order of the King of Kings. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake will the same shall save it. We'll be obedient to the word of God in Jesus' name. Look at verse 59 of that same Luke chapter 9. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He said unto this one, follow me. Just like he told Peter and John, he's telling you too. Like he told Andrew, and he told James, he's telling you too. But this one said, Lord, you don't understand. I don't understand why people call him Lord, and yet they say, me first. Lord, allow me first. And that's not the will of the Lord. If we call him Lord, he becomes number one in our lives. His commission becomes number one. His commitment becomes number one. Our consecration to him becomes number one. But he said, allow me first to go and bury my father. You know, people think now that this ceremony and that ceremony is more important than the calling of God upon our lives for the Great Commission. Look at verse 60. In verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61. In verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Trust me, I'm committed. Trust me, I am consecrated. Trust me, I will follow you. But whatever time you are praying and you are promising the Lord, and then you put a but, you defiled, desecrated that consecration. I will, but I will serve, I will go, I will preach, but whenever you put a but on your promise to the Lord, or your consecration to the Lord, that consecration is desecrated. It says, I will follow thee, but let me first. Isn't that the problem? Me first, education first, business first, merchandise first, family first, my comfort first. Let me first go. Bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Look at verse 62. In verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, remember, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he required then, he still requires today. Jesus said unto him, no man, anywhere, in any generation, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom of God. There is an urgent consideration. There is an ultimate condemnation. And there is an urging conscience to take the order of the Lord. And look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. The prophecy everywhere by the given by the Holy Ghost, that stripes, trials, affliction, awaited him in every city. He said, that doesn't matter to me. What's important to me is doing the will of God urgently. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, unto myself, neither count I another degree dear unto myself, neither count I success in business dear unto myself, neither count I having this, having that dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He said that's what's important. Come point number three now. Number three, we're looking at a guided preparation for an endemic sure famine. There's still a famine coming, and it's going to come upon the whole world. We've seen the famine in the past at the time of the Old Testament. We've seen the famine at the present time, spiritual famine, a famine of hearing the word of God. There's another famine, a sure famine of food and every provision as we're preparing for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord is guiding the leadership in the church to prepare the people of God for this endemic sure famine that is still to come. I want you to come back to 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 25. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it. And it says, until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the 1/4 part of a calf of doe's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That chapter 6, great famine. Come to chapter 7. In chapter 7, look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. You see, chapter 6, great famine. Chapter 7, great famine. And it is the great famine we've been talking about. And now God ended that one. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, we're looking at verse 1. In chapter 8, verse 1, then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had raised or restored to life, saying, arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn there wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Many people of God, preachers and pastors, do not look ahead. Already healed. Let's develop the faith of the people for the days to come. We've gone through the famine, and God has fulfilled this word. And the famine in chapter 7 had been ended. But let's prepare the people of God for the one that is still to come. And so Elisha told the woman who had received the miracle of the child being restored to life, said, woman, Don't stay here. Go anywhere you can sojourn, because the next 7 years there'll be a terrible famine. And the woman did not see any sign in the sky, any sign from the farms, from the field, but the word of the Lord from this man of God is always fulfilled. We need guidelines so that we can prepare the church of the living God for the famine which is still to come. Look at three things here. Number one is proclaiming the prophecy of a future famine. Number two is preparing for the people for a famishing famine, because it's coming. Number three is the preserving the provision for the father's flock. Let's look at number one. Number one is proclaiming the prophecy of a future famine. A future famine. Just like we've learned in 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 1. This famine now being announced had not come, but Elisha said, "Woman, prepare, go somewhere, hide yourself there. 7 years there'll be famine." Do you know that a time is coming? It's called the time of the great tribulation. It will be 7 years. The first 3.5 years will be a little bit mild, and the latter 3.5 years will be serious, very serious. Look at Matthew chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 7. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines," plural, "and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." In verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's still to come, but it will come. In Ezekiel chapter 14, reading from verse 20. Ezekiel 14 verse 20, "Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it," that is, in that place, "as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver. Neither son nor daughter." Salvation is personal. Holiness is personal. We don't transfer it to son or daughter. And to escape the great tribulation is personal. Your salvation will not make him, you know, your children, my child or my children, escape. It takes a personal relationship with God. It says neither son nor daughter shall they deliver. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Verse 21, what's he talking about? "For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my foresaw judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine." There's a famine still coming. The sword and the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence. That's what Jesus spoke about, to cut off from each man and beast. There's another famine still coming, and the Lord wants us to prepare. And let the people of God know, so that we're not buried in search for only the things of the present hour. Number two is preparing for the people for a famine. That is, when we preach the word and when we exhort the people of God, let's prepare very well so that we're preparing the people of God for this famine that is to come. Mark chapter 13, reading from verse 8. In Mark chapter 13, verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Oh, we read that in Matthew. Yes, I know. But you know, sometimes, especially like in our GCK, we are always praying, God, stop all the wars in the world. Are we serious about that kind of prayer? Do we believe God is going to stop really all the wars in the world? Do we believe that our desire, prayer at the GCK to stop every war in the world is going to cancel what Jesus said? The prophecy of the word is that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes. Now, will our prayer stop all the earthquakes and volcanoes happening in the world as the Lord is coming? No. Will it end all the wars and all the skirmishes in the whole world? No. And then the famine, because it says, and there shall be famines in diverse places and trouble, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Why are we reading this? Since we read it in Matthew, we're reading because of verse 10. Look at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, and the gospel must be published among all nations. All those things are going on. We cannot sit back and say, we are praying that all the wars will end, that they have not ended. So until those wars end, we cannot do anything. No, we keep on doing what we're doing. The wars will not end, because that is a prophetic statement coming from the mouth of Jesus. We pray for believers to be protected there in those wars. We pray for the children of God to be preserved and made ready for heaven in the midst of those wars. But as for stopping them, no. But the gospel must first be published among all nations. The Lord grant us understanding. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, dried up. The famine takes the better part of them, and their multitudes dried up with thirst. The famine is coming. It's going to be pronounced in the whatever we can do to ease the hunger, the problem of people. Yes, we do. But Jesus said it's coming for the great tribulation. We're looking at Matthew chapter 28. There is a duty now, preparing the people of God and preaching the gospel, even in the midst of the fulfillment of those predicted famines. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But please, the power of Jesus will not stop the program of God the Father. The power of Jesus will not reverse the order of the program of God. The Antichrist will come. His power will not stop that. The earthquakes will happen. His power will not stop that, and all the events of the last days will happen, but his power will not stop that. Let's read our Bibles with, you know, spiritual intelligence and with the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But the preaching of the gospel goes on in verse 19. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, teaching them to observe. And when we go to evangelize and we go to preach the gospel and we baptize those who are born again and converted, and we don't just throw them off and say bye-bye to them, teaching them. Teaching them, and part of what we teach them in the last day events. The converts are surprised. Why is this happening? Why is this? We say, don't be surprised. We take them back to the Bible and back to the Word of God. That whatever is shakable will be shaking. In fact, he says, I will shake the heavens and the powers of the earth. He said, he'll shake them, but the people who stand on the word of God will remain unshakable in Jesus' name. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A better, better amen. Amen. Look at number three here. Number three, preserving the provision for the Father's flock. The Father's, the provision he has given us, will preserve that. The Lord has given us his word that is sufficient for everyone that comes to the Lord. In fact, it is sufficient for all the people that are in the world to come into the kingdom. Preserve that. Salvation, preserve that. Sanctification, preserve that. Provision, abundance of provision, preserve that. Faith, faith that is able to make us conquer everything, every challenge we have in life, preserve that. Don't be swept away by the sights that dazzle and the things that you see in the world. Preserving the provision for the Father's flock. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 11. Luke chapter 21, verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Matthew said it, Mark said it, Luke says it. You see, these are the words of Jesus, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, these were witnesses, the truth shall be confirmed. And he said, there'll be great earthquakes that shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Look at verse 34. In verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Look at verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the earth, on the face of the whole earth. The people dwelling on the face of the whole earth, nominal Christians, churchgoers, even priests and, you know, old people dwelling on the face of the whole earth. You know, they are busy with little things, and they do not know there is a sure saw famine coming. The Lord will come. The church will be raptured and taken away from the earth. And the great tribulation will begin. And there will be terrible, terrible things happening. And, you know, people of the world, they are not warned ahead of time. Blessed are your ears for what you hear. And blessed are your eyes for what you see. You will escape in Jesus' name. Verse 36, watch ye therefore. When you read the Old Testament, the famine there, and the fulfillment of the prophets of Elisha, don't just, you know, dance and be happy and be merry and go your way. Watch, watch. There's another one coming. That will be more terrible than all the things that ever happened on the face of the earth. In fact, Jesus said, except those days shall be shortened, no person will escape. But because of Israel, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It tells us, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Thank God, the Lord is coming for you. And you will not be missing from the kingdom when he comes to take his people home in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Looking at it from verse 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 2, preach the word. The end of the world is coming so soon. Preach the word. We're seeing the signs everywhere. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famine everywhere. Preach the word. The people that be like Lot's wife, remember Lot's wife, they're looking back into the world, they're thinking of the world. Preach the word. The people of Noah's days, they're like the people today are like the people at that time. And they trade, they sell, they buy, they marry, they celebrate. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In verse 3, it says, for the time will come. The time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look at verse 4. And it says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5. In the midst of all that, watch thou in all things and endure affliction. Endure. There'll be some challenges and difficulties, but endure affliction. Do not allow affliction, trouble, trial, whatever, to run you away from the ministry at such a difficult time. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, the work of a missionary, the work of a shepherd, and the work of taking care of the people of God, and make full proof of thy ministry. Amen? Amen. You will do it. I will do it. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Anyone that comes across your way, anyone you come across, tell them. Don't think otherwise. Take the order from the Lord and preach the word to everyone, preserving the provision of the word for the Father's flock. Because it is, fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Be a part of the servants of God who are preaching the word to preserve the people of God until the final day. And the Lord bless your ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the amen you have. Amen. And the Lord prosper the work of the Lord in your hand, for until it comes, in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord, we've learned so much about the famine of the past, the famine of the present, and the famine of the future. Please open your mouth and pray.